One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hey listeners, let's take a moment for a shout out to our sponsor, Squarespace. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for creators to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create an awesome website, connect with your audience, and sell anything all in one place, all on your terms. Even if you don't know where to start with creating a website, Squarespace has you covered with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally created layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people. Flexible payment options make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So, ready to get started? Head over to squarespace.com/gamescoop for a free trial. And when it's showtime, use our special promo code GAMESCOOP to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Now, let's dive back into GameScoop. This episode of GameScoop is brought to you by 4hymns.com. Come get up. Beware,
I IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Tina Amini.
Hello.
Sam Claiborne.
Scoops.
And Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Very happy to be sitting in the far seat over there. We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to be talking about the PlayStation 4's final phase of its life cycle. So dramatic. We're going to be talking about video game special editions. But first. Battlefield 5 was just revealed mere moments ago before we started recording.
Was it?
Well, it was talked about. It was talked about mere moments
ago. Yeah, it was talked about, and then there was like a really pretty set of motion graphics that might have been what
representative
the looks like.
Of what gameplay could be. Yeah. No, the trailer's out there now. It's a long, like, sort of cinematic sequence that seamlessly leads right into gameplay. Mm-hmm. But now we know kind of what to expect from this game. It is going back to World War II, but maybe not a 100% realistic portrayal of World War II, because one of the main characters, a female character, has like a robotic claw for a hand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or it's at least like a Captain Hook hook that's like, yeah,
some kind of
maybe
Edward
a little
Scissorhands thing.
And it is going to have a campaign. It sounds like it'll be a similar situation to Battlefield 1, which had five shorter campaigns. Mm-hmm. It was telling different stories. They said they're going to focus on the untold stories set in the unexplored corners of World War II. And there, yeah, definitely, robotic hands is definitely an unexplored corner.
And the big reveal.
Of World War II.
The V stands for five.
Yep.
And they called it five.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some mystery speculation. Is it called Battlefield V? Is it called Battlefield 5?
Yeah, or what is V for? Is it for like V-Day or Victory?
Mm. Now we know it's
just V.
Vad Company.
Vad Company.
I'm glad we didn't go that route, personally.
One of the stories that was teased today focused,
a vampire game, actually.
Focused on a young female resistance fighter trying to save her family in the top of Norway, north of the Arctic Circle. That's like one of the short stories that they were trying to.
That was
to.
That lush green area they were fighting in, north of the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, exactly. It also contains a new cooperative mode called Combined Arms. You'll play in a squad of up to four people. Each of you is a paratrooper. Your job with your teammates is to go in behind enemy lines, stay undetected, and complete objectives. And then it's kind of a risk-reward scenario where the longer you stay, the further you go behind enemy lines, the greater the risk is, also the greater rewards.
Maybe that's where your robotic arm, maybe your teammate has your actual arm.
And then you need to get together.
It's, yeah, it's like King of the Hill for the arm.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
They use your arm as a weapon? Like, how does that look?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. It's good. They get combined.
Why not?
And then does it have a Battle Royale mode?
No. It has a mode that kind of resembles one, but it's not quite true in that
They're
nature.
Sort of adding a last man standing mode to Grand Operations, mm-hmm. which is their like multi-round epic multiplayer game mode that will now culminate in an extra round called Last Stand, which is sudden death. Everyone fights till there's just one person left. So,
yeah. So still kind team of, oriented, but
until the very end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then how many players? Did they mention that at all?
I'm not sure. I didn't catch exactly how many.
Because I think that's like one of the worries for these big AAA games taking on Battle Royale is that they can't do 100 people. And I don't think we even know that for Call of Duty yet.
No. Oh,
no, we don't know. They didn't mention how many players.
Yeah,
they mentioned it's a giant map.
Yeah, exactly.
So finally, you can expect.
Battlefield 5 will be out October 19th. That is 1 week after Black Ops 4. 1 week or 2 weeks? 1 week before Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
So you got
tough month.
Yeah. October 12th, Black Ops 4. October 19th, Battlefield 5. October 26th, Red Dead Redemption 2.
And yet, October 31st is Halloween.
And yeah, it's Halloween.
So get your costumes ready and, you know, not too much candy this year.
Not this year. Remember, you had a tummy ache last
year. You have to eat your growing foods before you can eat your candy.
Right.
Good tips, guys.
And soda is just liquid candy, so that counts.
That does, yeah.
Yeah.
That counts.
You can hand out soda on Halloween.
And if you did, you'd be kind of like a local hero.
Yeah.
Probably.
Full-size candy bars.
Full disclosure, do not hand out liquid on Halloween.
It's heavy.
Unless it's heavy. Fully capped. I mean, yeah.
Just hold out your hands. We'll pour a little bit of soda into each one of your hands.
And that's your Halloween check-in for this episode of Game Scoop.
You're welcome.
Only 16 more weeks.
It's more than that.
Yeah. So I didn't do the math.
So that's three big games for October, and that's not even counting, you know, those rumors of another Assassin's Creed. Not confirmed, but rumors. And Assassin's Creed likes to arrive in October. And then, of course, Nintendo has Smash Brothers, which will be coming sometime this fall.
So, Smash Brothers V?
Smash Brothers V is what they're going to call
it. What's the working title for that? It's silly, too.
I think it's just still Smash Super Brothers. Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers, and they don't say for Nintendo Switch or anything?
Not yet.
Yeah. Remember how they did that, and then we were all like, what's it going to be, what's it going to be? And then they just kept it as the code names?
Yep.
So silly. For 3DS. It could be better than that.
Or just like Super Smash Brothers Switch. I could see that being the case. There it is.
So, in the year...
a really good snap.
I can only do it with that hand. This one, I can't do it.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that weird?
You have such a good snap.
I get...
Yours are really good, too.
I didn't know that about myself.
We're learning things today.
And that's a snap check-in.
Snapchat. That's what I call it. That's
Game Snap. My
name. We should take that.
Snapchat.
We're getting a little sidetracked here. So in 2018, we got a new Battlefield game. It's set in World War II. I think the first time it's been going back to World War II since Battlefield 1943 mm-hmm. in 2009, which is a downloadable only game for Xbox 360 and PS3. Never came to PC. Did you know that?
No.
That's a scoop gem for you. This Battlefield 1942 is the original game, right?
Yes.
So that started in World War II, then it went to Vietnam, then it went to Modern Warfare, then it went far to the future, 2142, and then it's sort of like bounced around since then.
Yeah.
Now coming back to World War II. They're sticking with the campaign, Call of Duty's not.
I think the campaign, I mean, it's really expensive and time consuming, right? To make a campaign. That's been the argument for years is, you know, everyone spends a year playing multiplayer and plays the campaign for a few hours, then bounces off it. But especially when you're doing it like vignette style, which is sort of the new thing for shooters, it doesn't feel like, you know, take multiplayer assets and you know, you don't need to have some arching 8-hour narrative or like a really fully developed, you know, villain or character. Just like have little, you know, little short stories. I feel like that's the way to go. Yeah. Well, that's the middle ground.
It kind of feels like Black Ops is doing that with the zombies mode because there's like several campaign like maps essentially. So it's like a cruise ship. And then what was it, like a gladiator arena, and then the other one, I have no idea.
Well, it's Titanic, isn't it?
Is that really what it is? Is that true?
I think so.
I wasn't paying.
Did I make that up? That close.
Zombies on the Titanic? That's what happened?
I think so.
It's pretty great.
I'm a little worried that maybe...
Is that like a dream you had maybe now?
Yeah, I'm a little worried that was maybe a dream I had.
Yeah, except now it's not. You got everyone's hopes up. Yeah. That's not
true. That's out of the bag. Titanic zombies. I don't know if it's real. If it's real, it sounds cool.
Yeah. That would be an underwater game. Zombies from beneath.
After a certain point.
Yeah.
You think they float?
I mean, that's when they die, right? Then they turn.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh.
But maybe it's like half the boat's underwater and the zombies swim out.
Can zombies swim? Depends on the lore.
Yeah, that's true. They can crawl.
We're just making games now.
Yeah.
Let's save that one in our back pockets for making game scoop.
Yeah, you're right, Justin. It's expensive to create all the single player campaign. And then we have data from sites like there are like achievement tracking sites where at least on the Xbox side we see like only 30% of people like played through the campaign of Battlefield 1.
I don't believe
you don't believe that.
I don't believe those stats because then it's like only 71% of people started the game, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like that doesn't make any sense. Like there's like because you get an achievement for beating like the tutorial in Skyrim, yeah. And then it's like a certain percentage of people never did that, and I'm like, that's a made up stat, like.
If it's from Steam, then it's like that back pile where people just buy games and leave it on their
that
pile.
Or, you know, it's, you know, their achievements are turned off or glitched. They played the game offline for part of the time or who knows what. Like,
yeah. Well, Battlefield 5, at least we have more details now that has been sort of kind of revealed. And certainly more information will be coming out of EA Play, which is a E3 adjacent in just a couple weeks.
They really missed the opportunity to turn the F in Battlefield to a 5.
Yeah, is that
or just a V? Battlefield.
Battlefield's really good.
With just lots of beer. Is Veal beer?
I think you're messing with trademarks at that point.
I don't think I've ever played a Battlefield game.
No, it's not. Veal is not deer. Why did I just say that?
Is it baby cow?
Veal is baby cow.
Venison is deer.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Baby sheep.
We got it.
Baby lamb.
Baby lamb.
No.
Lambs are all babies.
Veal's baby cows.
I think it's baby cow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Meat Scoop.
Battlefield 5. Game Scoop also works for meat.
Game.
That's true. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wild game scoop. Yep.
We need a breakout segment.
Well, this is all the wild game scoops we have for you. We identified meat poorly.
Yeah, probably misidentified me.
Yeah, welcome to Wild Game Scoop. Our suggestion this week is... anyway.
But first,
tell me one of our... some tenderloins.
Moving on to one of our big news stories this week. We had a...
Sorry.
What are you talking about, the tenderloin?
I just think we should do 20 questions as
no,
tender
not
questions.
Not the tenderloin, just tenderloin.
Tender questions?
Tender questions.
Big news from the PlayStation front this week. A very dramatic news story about how the new head of, what is it, Sony Interactive Entertainment, said the PlayStation 4 is entering the final phase of its life cycle.
You know that dude 100% got a talking to, right? Yeah, exactly. It's like, yo, you can't say things like that.
When, you know, in fact, he even clarified that they're talking about, it's still years off, the next console, next generation is still years off. Yeah. Maybe March 2021 is when we would be
That's
playing
very specific.
PlayStation 5. But why entering the final phase of its life cycle now? Maybe it's because, if you think about that in human terms, that doesn't sound very good. If someone's entering the final phase of their life cycle, like, ooh, he doesn't have very long.
Well, I think that I forget the executive's name, but he thinks that he's stating the obvious, right? Like, oh, the console's been around 5 years. Like, you know, there's a few more good years left and then we'll have our next thing. But you just don't talk that way. Like, this is here's what you say, executive. Spider-Man on PS4 is going to be amazing and we're really excited about it.
Well, he did mention that there were, like, to his credit, he did mention in that interview that there were games coming and there were still updates they were working on. Yeah. So I suppose he couched it, but I think he also referenced like sales numbers being a contributing factor, which I imagine is also a risky thing to do.
Mm. I mean, every console, I mean, I think I took it to mean like every console hits like that magic, like $199 price point when it just blows the doors off and everything goes crazy and you have your greatest hits line. Games get cheap. The console gets cheap.
Games get really good for that end of the generation. Mm-hmm.
And then there's those end of generation games like, I like Uncharted 2 a little bit more, but like the Uncharted 3 Last of Us style, like sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, like cap on the end of that generation.
GTA 5.
Yeah.
Actually, Skyrim too. Like all those great games right at the end.
And so maybe like it's actually, it depends on how far away the next generation is. Like maybe we'll get a God of War 2 or maybe we won't. Like I guess we'll have to wait and see like what this generation sort of end cap games are.
Yeah. Did he say PlayStation 5?
No, he didn't say that.
Did he say PlayStation V?
It's going to be the PlayStation V. Yeah.
Playvation.
PlayStation.
I don't know. March 2021 also sounds like kind of far away.
It's a futuristic number.
Yeah. That would make the PS4 8 years old at that point?
No more. Nine.
9 years old? No, 2013.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And the PS4 was revealed and released in the same year. So in my head, I'm just trying to think of it. Like, when is the PS5 revealed and then released?
E3 2020 and then fall 2020.
So that's two E3s from now. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that sounds reasonable.
That's my, and I said that with a lot of confidence, but that's strictly strictly a guess.
They're coming up on the 30th anniversary of the PlayStation 1.
It's crazy, right?
No, wait. No. There's no way. It must be the 25th anniversary.
No, in 2023, it'll be the 30th anniversary.
Well, it came out in 1995.
Yeah.
Maybe 94 in Japan.
So, yeah, 94 in Japan.
I guess, wait. I guess you're all right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Sort of.
30th anniversary in 2024.
Yes. 94? When it was
in Japan.
I just can't believe, does the PlayStation 4 to you all feel like a five-year-old console? It doesn't to me.
Well, now that they have the half step, I mean, like, it's insane to even be talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
the PS4
all those people are getting it screwed.
Like, I'm thinking about PS3 and 360. Like, those consoles felt old. Like, they felt old, and they were dusty in my entertainment, like, system, and I was ready for the next thing. And I don't know what it is about, like, my life or this generation, but the PS4 in my mind still feels like, oh, that's pretty new. Like, that's a fairly new thing. Like, I don't feel like we've got the...
Maybe it's those buttons that don't work. Those are pretty futuristic.
Dude, it's been 5 years, and I get the on and eject button mixed up every night. I've never once hit the correct one.
Or sometimes you just touch it. Like, sometimes it'll be touching it. Somebody in the room will be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm turning on or off the system. Also, you know, it looks
weird. I don't know which one.
My Xbox One, I have one of the original ones with the sheer front on it, and, like, the button, the on button is so sensitive that, like... If you even just, like, think about it, it's like...
You can't breathe on it.
Yeah, we have them in the office, and the guides team especially has them, like, on the fronts of their desks, and I've absolutely turned off games right in the middle of somebody capturing or doing something just by kind of being near it. It's like, no! Right in the middle of a level capture.
You want to turn off? Fine. You breathed on me.
Yeah.
See you later.
But the new Xbox and the new PlayStation both have different buttons. The 0.5, they fix those.
Yeah. I think part of the thing that it'll be contingent on is, like, whether or not developers feel like they've surpassed the quality on the consoles, and they haven't. Like, as far as I've seen, the way people are talking about those consoles are still, like, their new generation, and they're still allowing them to do the kinds of things that they want to do, like whatever this Black Ops Battle Royale mode is going to let us do. That's not something we could have done in the past.
Yeah, but, like, can it do 100 players, though?
I mean, a phone can with Fortnite.
Yeah, exactly. Suspicious.
I think that's more of like a server-side development thing than it is a console thing.
I'll tell you this. My PlayStation 4 sounds old when I play God of War.
Yeah, you're saying it's really loud, right?
Yeah.
My PlayStation 4 has been whisper quiet, and then God of War is the game that now it's loud as hell. Yeah.
But God of War is an incredible game. Incredible.
I had to take it out of my entertainment center, too.
It was getting hotter and hotter,
and I'm like, this console's going to turn off. Like,
yeah.
Mine's always been fine, but maybe it's because I like take it out. I don't have like a console center. I leave it on my coffee table.
I just noticed mine started attracting my cat more and more because it would get warm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he'd get warmer there, and you'd go over and like kind of lie under the shelf that it's on, stuff like that. He can sense it.
Do you guys remember that Kotaku story from a while back that a PS4 is the one that houses the most cockroaches?
What?
Disturbingly.
Excuse me?
Yeah. So when one of the reporters went to like a local repair shop, and the guy was saying like, yeah, I get PS4s in all the time, and it's just got dozens of cockroaches like laying eggs in there.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty gross. I mean, that's a thing. They do go into the holes, like through the fans or wherever they're getting into.
I'm trying to picture where they're getting into in the PS4. Like, that thing's pretty sealed, but yeah. They can go down, they can squeeze down to the size of a nickel.
Yeah, see,
so
that's disturbing.
You can just go on the disk drive.
That's true. Cool. Yeah. That is probably what they're doing.
You know, speaking of that, Justin, Mrs. Victor was talking smack on Primo Patio today.
What?
Yeah.
Was she saying there's cockroaches there? Yeah.
Los cucarachas.
Oh!
Exactly. That she's saying that's why it was closed.
Just dancing on the grave?
That's not why it's closed.
I'm just saying that's what Mrs. Victor said.
You eat like 6 spiders a year or something too, so we're all doomed.
Yeah, so talking about the final phase of the PS4's life cycle, obviously it's been a phenomenally successful console. It's the best-selling console month after month. I wonder if they're just seeing that those sales are about to plateau. Mm-hmm. And like Justin said, it's about to reach that magic time, $199.
Now that cockroach story's out there.
Yeah. But even the
sales are plummeting.
Even like the price drop, the impact of that is blunted a little bit by having like the Pro model.
Sure.
Like the Xbox One S is crazy cheap now, but in the back of I think everyone's head is like, well, there's still the One X. Like, which, like, I don't know, like, what's a better deal? Like a $200 OG Xbox One or like a $450 Xbox One X? Like, it makes it. The companies did the right thing by releasing those half steps, but it does sort of confuse, like, if you're a late adopter, what's the right time to jump in and what's the right console for me? It's a little unclear.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool because it gives, like, the bargain hunters an opportunity to get in on something that's a little bit older but still totally, like, doable. So I don't even have a PS4 Pro. I just use my PS4 and it's totally fine.
They should subscribe to the IGN Deals email newsletter and we'll tell you when there's a really good price on a new console.
Nice plug.
So helpful. What about the Xbox One and Switch? Are they about to enter the final phase of their life cycles?
Well, Switch is over. right?
Which is done.
It had 1 year of amazing games, and that's all we really
Well, I mean, now they're shipping without docks. Like, what's happening?
Is that true?
In Japan.
What?
Yeah, there's a cheaper model without a dock. Cable. Yeah.
You think we're going to get any sort of, like, Switch HD? Like, I don't know what it'll be like. Some new model of Switch at E3? Between.
I think, yeah. No, at E3?
Yeah.
Oh, this year? I don't know.
Not a year out.
They could go one of two directions. They could go like the iPad route or the Apple route and have a nicer one. Like, here's a $400 Switch that's got some premium Cadillac options, or like a cheaper one.
The 2DS that's
like,
route.
Yeah, like I almost envision one that's portable only, that the controllers are fused to it. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah,
maybe that's the direction they're headed in with this dockless Switch. Mm. The Switch U. Mm-hmm. Does that work less than?
Switch U?
Yeah. This is a Wii U joke.
Yeah.
No, or, I like it.
It's a terrible joke.
No, I got it.
Or just the Switch Wii.
The Switch.
Switchy with two eyes.
Switch.
Switch. Yeah. Just to keep with the V.
Where do you put the 5 in there?
The Switch.
Switch.
Well, the W can be 2 5s.
That's
right. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Better than the 1 5.
The Nintendo 10.
Man, we have a long weekend this weekend. I feel like we need it.
Yeah, we're getting a little loopy here at IGN. We haven't had a 3-day weekend in a while. Not like we feel like we're owed them. It's just we're very excited for this one.
Yeah, I feel like it.
And that's all the scoops we have.
Just a little bit of a break.
It's my daughter's birthday this weekend.
Scoop.
Let's share what we've been playing lately. Tina, what you've been playing?
I've actually been playing The Last of Us again. I've been playing the remastered version. So I played the first one in full. Hadn't played the remastered one, but I was playing it for a recent project that will be coming out soon on IGN.com.
Please be excited.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of that playthrough just because you sit near me.
Yeah.
And you're in the city for so much longer than I remember.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, like, oh, when she's going to get to that snow scene? When she's going
to
get
to like 15 scene. Hours later.
I never
later.
Even saw it. Yeah. I don't even know if you got to it.
I didn't. But I played more over the weekend and
it's a long game.
Got closer into it. Yeah, it is a really long game. And there's a lot that I forgot. Like, do you guys remember the kind of, I forget the name of it in The Last of Us, but it's basically like a detective mode, a discover mode. Do you remember that at all? Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Thing? Like a Batman thing where you can see where enemies are.
Oh,
you can upgrade
you can,
like, it.
Can I see the outlines of them?
Yeah, you can see their, like a kind of shadow version.
I vaguely remember that. I was just watching this, so I'm surprised. I also liked it. Tina knows these enemies that they're like enemies that you can like stealth around. But like really, like you're supposed to stealth up and kill them.
Yeah.
But instead of killing them, she had her knife out and would just stealth around them like so riskily, like
pixel by
touching
pixel,
their knees and stuff. Yeah, and like just doing. She's like,
just to see what you can get away with.
Yeah.
Just because there's like pills in the back and I want to grab it, but I don't want to waste my shiv.
It's kind of great level design because there'd be like a doorway and the thing would be in the doorway and somehow her body would get around.
I'm just like shimmying around it.
Makes sense. It was great.
To be fair, I was playing on easy mode, and I normally never do that. That's like, you know, like you just don't do that.
Yeah. But we were saying it's a good way to blast through something.
Yeah, I needed to. Exactly. I needed to get through. So the way that they do easy mode, and this kind of something I discovered because I wouldn't normally do that, and I remembered from normal mode and like jumping back and forth, is that it actually doesn't impact their health or how much damage they take. I think it does restrict how quickly they see you. So that's why I was able to get around that. And a couple other like various things like how many of them are attacking you at once, that kind of thing. But
you're gonna end that game with so many shivs.
Yeah, I actually didn't.
You're gonna
once
have like 99.
Yeah, I was very. That's that kind of thing.
Fives.
It's where you get so protective of your resources, you end up with all of them in the end.
Yep.
Yeah, like Breath of the Wild, I never used any of my nice weapons.
Yeah, just hoarding them.
Yeah. Yep.
That was your big problem with Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, it was. I can go on about it. I won't. People will hate me.
And then Justin, Sam, and I have all been playing the same game, which isn't out yet. Or is it out this week? Next week?
29th it's out.
So Tuesday.
No one knows.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there is a review embargo on it, but we're all playing it. And
we're allowed to talk about it. I checked with them. It's called Yoku's Island Adventure.
Island Express.
Express, because you're a male beetle. A beetle
like,
delivering the
not
mail.
Not like a male-female male beetle. Like you're delivering
M-A-I-L.
The
mail.
We're all playing it on Switch. It's
probably
a
lady beetle.
It's
we don't know.
It's a pinball-themed Metroidvania where you're a beetle rolling a ball around, and then you enter these little pinball areas and, you know, knock the ball all around, and then you unlock new abilities that let you go underwater and do different things and explore a big, really charming island with really surprisingly neat art and... Mm-hmm. It's not like a perfect game, but it's sort of like the perfect game for me. Like I'm such a sucker for like any sort of pinball adventure game, digital pinball.
Not too many of those.
It's not too many of those. Not enough of them. I've always said that.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it. It's a pleasant surprise.
Charming is the right word for it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. It has a really great style and
stuff.
Very
wholesome. It has a Banjo-Kazooie style language with all the animals.
It has the morph ball parts of Metroid, basically, are the entire game. So it's like when you turn into a morph ball in a 2D Metroid or even in Prime and solve those cool puzzles and stuff, it has all that. And I think that's really great. And that's what makes it a good Metroid. And it's absolutely a Metroid-like. It's like, you know, you get skills and go back and explore. And it's a big, really fun, explorable island. But sometimes you can also alter the environment. So it's in an environment in the form of pinball flippers. So sometimes like a thing in the environment is just a pinball flipper. So you're rolling and doing stuff and doing little like physics puzzles. And all of a sudden you can just flip your like dung beetle's dung ball.
It is pretty puzzling.
Wait, are you the pinball machine? Or are you
you're
the flippers?
Controlling a beetle moving the ball, and then the triggers control.
Oh, okay. So it's not like you roll up as the beetle and you
no.
Walk
and some the ball is like kind of like always near you, and you're such a pro at rolling that you know you never lose it. And that's maybe where your mail is or something. I can't even tell. But sometimes you flip, and the beetle gets like completely knocked around, like trying to hold on to the ball and stuff, and it like yelps and like looks distraught.
Aww.
So it actually is like some
that
cool,
sounds
like,
cute
environment.
And sad.
It's surprisingly puzzly. Like the part I'm in now has me like flipping switches in like the right order to like solve environmental puzzles. But it's also like a night. It's very actiony too. Like the fast travel system is like Donkey Kong Country style barrels. The game's really cute.
Yep.
And there's notably like really fun. It's almost like watching a movie with Easter eggs like Avengers, where there's fun references to pinball. So if you're into pinball, like a character will be named like Kickback, which is the name of like a specific type of pinball coil that kicks your ball back in when you save, get your life saved in pinball. And that's what the character does in this game. It's like really cute that way.
This game was perfect for you.
Yeah.
I really like it.
You're
like
a pinball enthusiast.
Wizard, you might say.
So it's just cool that you can get into this game, even though like, you would always prefer to play a real pinball machine.
Yeah, yeah. Right? But I just think like the way to be good at a pinball game makes it so it's almost like you know more about this game. Like it's like kind of like having a secret skill while you play it. There's like little moves you can use and stuff which you normally use in pinball that you can use in this. One great thing too is that the boss fights are multi-ball.
Yeah.
And so it's like somehow they have to set up this thing, and I won't spoil any of it, where it's like suddenly, you're just like in pinball, you're always trying to get to these multi-ball modes, which are just fun. There's just a lot going on. You score really well. And this game, they kind of set up that way. So like all of the big moments, for some reason, there's more things to hit around. It's really funny.
Pretty good. That's Yoku's Island Express. Mm-hmm. It's out on Tuesday. We've been playing on Switch, but it's also coming to Xbox One. Yeah. And
it's
PS4.
A great Switch match, by the way.
Yeah, too. It's really good on Switch.
And you know, if you're worried, like all pinball games, you should be worried about this lag. Like lag can be just, it can really mess up a Twitch-based game, you know? And pinball is the definition of that. And so it's great to have like the screen and your controllers all connected and be like assured it's you, not the game, which happens.
The poor craftsman who blames his tools.
Mm-hmm.
Attention, dudes. Unfortunately, most men will experience hair loss by age 35. By the time you notice, it's usually too late. A preemptive strike is required, and that is where 4hims.com comes in. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and men's health that connects you with real doctors for medical-grade solutions for problems that can be embarrassing to handle in person. There's no waiting room, no doctor visits, but these are prescription solutions backed by actual science.
You visit 4hims.com, answer a few questions, a real doctor will review and can prescribe accordingly, and products are shipped directly to your door.
While supplies last, GameScoop listeners can get a trial month for just $5 when they go to 4hims.com/GameScoop. That's FORHIMS.com/GameScoop. And now, back to the show. Let's check in with the listeners.
That's just a little phrase you invented. Yep.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN, just like Big Tony Style
Big
did.
Tony Style.
Big Tony Style says, I feel like collector's editions are becoming more and more elaborate these days. Mm. A lot of items in these editions usually don't appeal to me, like God of War's ring and keychain, Ni No Kuni 2's paper craft model, or Project Octopath Traveler's pop-up book. I know the Scoop crew usually goes digital, but I'm wondering what would get you to buy into a collector's edition? Also, I don't recall many collector's editions growing up in the 80s and 90s. Can you recall any notable collector's editions from old school video games?
Off maps, man.
Like, well,
yeah,
like for what?
What he said, feelies.
Yeah.
Those were the original term for a collector's edition, which isn't even that, was for PC games to get you not to steal them from your friends, which was very easy. You could just copy a disc. And so in the late 80s and early 90s, you'd get a PC game, and these, you guys will recognize these, and the box was huge. Remember how PC game boxes were like never like a disc? It was like always huge. That's because there's always like a really thick book. There was like a cloth map, maybe a coin. Those are all called feelies. And they would include those in there. They're like physical bonus things. And again, like that's the only edition of the game.
It was also
the edition of the game, but you didn't steal.
It was also DRM sometimes where you would solve a puzzle and then there would be like a puzzle wheel or something that you would need to manipulate this physical thing to.
I remember like LucasArts Adventure Games. There was an Indiana Jones that had a lot of extra gear you needed to solve the puzzles.
Metal Gear Solid did that with a codec on the back of the jewel case.
Yeah, totally.
And if you rented that game, you were hosed.
There was a really common practice of saying, turn to your manual, page 33, and read word 6. And that is the password to start playing the game. So like they tried to thwart stealing through all of those like kind of cool extra items. And I think that's what the tradition is exactly doing now. They don't want you to get the digital copy. They want you to spend some extra to get a... And this is probably retailers want you to do this, not the game maker themselves, because game maker wants you to buy a digital copy because they get a cut and it doesn't matter.
You think we get special editions, fancy special editions now as a peace offering to retail?
I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because you could still buy this from Amazon.
Theory, though.
I mean, it's just another piece of the puzzle. We've talked on Scoop before about how games seemingly will never be anything other than $60. Like, that's going to be the price of games forever. Mm-hmm. Cut to next year and they're 70 bucks. But no, I mean, but like, so they capture people with microtransactions to try to up, the revenue they make per user. And a $150 special edition that's selling someone, $100 worth of plastic is another way that they're just kind of trying to eke out a little bit more money for a big tentpole game without compromising on that $60 base price is to juice their hardest of the hardcore fans a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. You guys remember hearing about special editions early on, or at least
the earliest one I could remember is Ocarina of Time.
That's what
had a collector's edition.
Well, it had that gold card. Is that what you mean?
Which was like the first run, and the outside the box said collector's edition.
But that was actually limited edition too, unlike a lot of them now.
They don't seem to limit them too much sometimes. But Nintendo still does, and they had that big, sword edition of Breath of the Wild, which went out of stock immediately. It's very expensive now.
The Ocarina thing, I only half remember this, but the carts are slightly different. They changed the color of Ganon's blood, and I think they changed the music.
Layers of censorship.
Yeah, they changed the music in the Fire Temple.
Ganon in the earliest
has red
gold
blood.
Copies.
Oh, that's right.
Red. Then it went green.
So then there's like a rare cart where like I think there's a few gray carts, which is the second wave where he still has red blood, and that's like the rarest Ocarina cart now or something like that.
Yeah. I think that's why people like them, like the rarity aspect of it. Mm. I remember the Borderlands when I think it was for the original or for 2, but they had a loot chest, and that was what everyone went crazy over.
Really?
They were super into it, and it sold out, and then they had to make a couple more as well. But I think people liked it because it's like an item in the game that you've seen over and over again, and once you see it, it's this exciting thing. Mm-hmm. So when you see it like in this plastic version, which I didn't think looked really amazing, but like people were really into it. And it's the kind of thing that, like, if you're super into it, you have it on your desk and it looks good, and maybe you can sell it for more expensive, especially if it was just super rare.
In regards to Big Tony Siles' question, which is what would get me to buy a collector's edition, the answer is nothing at all, because I'm just anti stuff in my house in general. I don't want stuff. I'm trying to live like a more. I already have.
What about
stuff.
A partnership with Real Doll?
No.
Oh, that's the one special edition I'm really intrigued by.
That's the inside?
Cannot.
Yeah.
Or the inside and Limbo, right? Isn't it both?
Yeah, you're right,
The asterisk, though, is I think art books are like a nice compromise between, like, I just feel like a lot of collector's editions are just kind of trashy knickknacks and trinkets that, you think you want when you see, like, a bullet point of, like, oh, it's got all this cool stuff, and then you get it, and none of it always feels cheap, right? But, like, an art book is something that, like, feels like it's a nice extra to give, to give on to the fans versus just something that you're not really going to care about in 12 months.
Back when I would display my actual game cases, I liked the special editions that came in those like really fancy tin ones.
Yeah.
Because then you'd be able to you'd be able to identify it in your library and it just like looked cool. It was something different.
The steelbooks are nice.
Yeah.
Like our office is full of statues that come in the special editions, right? And like, I don't need any of that stuff.
My
house is big God of War statue. Like, it looks cool, but like, just take up
like
space.
Definitely the compact special editions, and I'm 100% on board with the books.
Yeah.
Like, I really want, cool. If I really like a game, I definitely want to get like the behind the scenes drawings and stuff. Like taking any Metroid or Zelda or Mario game, like anytime I get to see like what it looked like in production stuff in physical form, I'll totally buy that. I love those books.
One of my prized pieces of video game memorabilia is the making of Half-Life 2 art book.
Yeah.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, it's gorgeous and fascinating and filled with all kinds of interesting anecdotes. And I think it's fairly rare. I don't know if it ever got reprinted.
Yeah, I think if it's informative in some kind of a way, like behind the scenes development, or it's like a really cool map or something that's tying into the game, or even an in-game thing, like a skin or a new weapon or a character or whatever it is, something that's like contributing to the experience, that's what makes it valuable.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it is just kind of like plastic on
your
desk.
If things were still cartridges, I would absolutely get like gold and red cartridges and stuff. Like, if they did it with Switch and like there was like a limited edition of like glow in the dark cartridge for some game, like I'd be a lot more inclined to get that than the other one.
What about a Switch cart that tasted different?
Yeah. Well, there's no way to know.
Kind of bitter or?
Them all.
Ugh.
What about like the game soundtrack on vinyl?
Yeah.
That would be of interest to me.
I've done that before.
But that's they're usually separate though, right?
Yeah.
Like they're not the if the collector's edition of the game came with the vinyl soundtrack, I'd probably be in.
Yeah.
Those are also like a display item thing.
Yeah.
Because when you have them like stacked up somewhere, it looks really cool. You pull it out, you look fancy.
Yeah. I mean, I have a place. Records are a great example because I have a place where all my records are, and so you can just put them there. Yeah. They're not going to go in like they're not a box this big that I'm have to put with all my other boxes that big of old gaming consoles and stuff. In a closet somewhere.
Yeah. If it's a statue or a figure or something, it would have to be something that's so specific to me, like if there was a Godzilla game that the collector's edition had this awesome Godzilla statue. Well, I'd obviously have to have that. That's pretty much the only example I can think of.
And then there were giant gaffes like the Dead Island statue.
Yeah.
That never came out, right?
It didn't. They axed it.
Walked
out
of
the torso.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good pun.
They axed it a few times.
All right, moving on. This is Ethan in New Orleans, and he says, "Dear co-op mages, I am just getting back into gaming, having just finished up grad school." What do you think of Ethan in New Orleans? What do you think his master's is in?
Vet tech.
I'm going to go with bars.
Bars.
I was going to go with cooking.
I mean, yeah.
Like a chef's school.
Yeah. Bars.
Mixology.
Okay. Mixologist. You think
is that a master's level? Yeah. I'm not sure about vet tech is master's level either.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a study of wine that's called like vitological studies or something like that?
Probably.
Did you know you can get your master's in citrus?
Oh, that's cute.
What do you do with that?
It's a whole study of mandarins, oranges, that family of fruits.
We made a lot of those fruit. I wikied this the other day.
We made them?
Yeah, like most citrus
fake fruits
are just totally bred by us. They were not like in the wild.
Well, fake fruit. Anyway, Ethan says, for my first console of the current generation, I decided to go.
But you don't know what his master's is in?
No, we were just guessing.
Come on.
What do you mean?
Payoff?
We were just guessing. I mean, no, I think Tina's right. I think she guessed it.
Cooking?
Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
I love the Switch. I don't see any reason to get anything else. I like difficult games. Two of my favorite styles of games are Metroidvania, like Shantae, and Souls-like, like Jotun, the Viking-themed game.
Yeah, the bosses that are really cool looking.
However, I have never played Super Metroid or Dark Souls, and sometimes I feel somewhat hypocritical when describing my gaming tastes. Super Metroid is appealing to me, and I plan to play it, assuming it is eventually available on Switch. However, Dark Souls has never appealed to me much, at least not at full price. To me, the art style is not interesting, the gameplay looks slow and boring, and the character menu looks stressful.
Nailed it.
But by principle, the character menu stresses you out?
Yes. And all three of the things he mentioned. I've played Dark Souls games.
But by principle, should I pick up the remastered version when it comes to Switch to justify calling myself a fan of Souls-like games? This is a little bit interesting. He likes Souls-like games, but he doesn't think he would like Dark Souls.
I mean, I think it's valuable just if you consider yourself an expert on the matter, if you want to like be part of the conversation and like actually play it to a degree where you can defend your opinion. That's fine. I don't think it means you have to go and buy every single one and play them through completion.
If you don't like it. If he's a fan of Souls-like games, Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3 are all what he's describing. So what does he like? Bloodborne?
Well, he said Jotun was his example of a Souls-like that he likes on Switch.
But is he using Souls-like and just really hard game? Are those synonymous in his mind?
I'm not sure. But is it like saying, I love platformers, but you've never played a Mario game?
Mm.
And like being like, no, I don't think I really like Mario.
I mean, ultimately, Dark Souls is just a Metroid-like game. It's like
Dark Souls is Metroid-like?
Yeah.
Dark Souls 1 is, sort of.
I mean, I don't know what the difference really between Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3
are. It's got a more interconnected world.
I think maybe the reason why he's using like Souls-like games is because that's just the modern frame of reference, and that's how people have those conversations. So it's not necessarily like if you liked platformers but you didn't play Mario games, maybe there's something more relevant. I mean, so it's so vague anyway. It could be any number of series.
I think Tina's right that you know, you owe it to yourself to have the correct context in, you know, in which the rest of these games followed. And if you like hard games and like other games that are in that wheelhouse, the remaster I think is only $40, probably even cheaper if you know pre-order it like right now as this show's going up. So you know, $33, get it on the Switch.
Hypocrite is maybe a little harsh.
Yeah, I don't like any of those games. So, but if someone does,
you don't like Metroid.
You know I love Metroid.
I know that you love Metroid.
I mean, wouldn't it be super boring if we all fell under one category, and like if you like this kind of game, you automatically like all the other ones.
Fans of the genre will like it.
Yeah. Dark Souls should appeal to the people who love Castlevania and Metroid games. I just, what the things he's saying about being slow and that the actual aesthetics are not, you know, appealing to everybody, like, are the actual problems I have.
Yeah.
They're pretty valid criticisms. Mm-hmm.
But you do go from save point to save point, and you're fighting big bosses, and you get things that allow you to go back to original areas. Like, it has all the trappings of a 3D Castlevania game, and it's probably the best incarnation of a 3D Castlevania-like.
Have you ever played Castlevania 64?
Yes, I have. And I've played Legacy of... I want to say Legacy of Brutality, but that's a Misfits record.
Yeah.
Legacy of Darkness. And that's the sequel to that had stuff that they cut out of Castlevania 64. It's just you play as a werewolf. Let's cut to the chase.
Wait, but it was also 64?
In a different time.
Was it also a 64 game, or was that PS2?
Yeah, it's 64. It's the same levels with like a little bit extra stuff. They're like, we didn't finish the game. Here's the real version.
They did
the
like
definitive edition.
And they did set it back in time and like palette swapped it, and it made you a werewolf.
They did a 1.5 version of Castlevania 64. I forgot
that's
about
exactly
that.
Right. Yeah, 1.5 version.
It's perfect. Yep. Speaking of Castlevania, Curse of the Moon is out tomorrow, and I'm excited for that.
Bloodstained.
Curse of the Moon.
Got it.
This is Zachary Zito. He has a very alliterative name. Yeah, he said, I read an article about Dave and Buster's getting a Halo Combat Evolved multiplayer arcade game. Got me thinking of games I would like to see as multiplayer arcade games. I would make a Breath of the Wild cooperative game, Shrine Solver, similar to Portal. What would you make?
I like that idea.
Such a good name.
I do like the idea of a cooperative shrine solver Zelda game. The thing is, though, in arcade games, maneuvering a 3D space and moving a camera is difficult because usually you just have a joystick and some buttons. You don't usually have two analog sticks.
It also has to be immediately accessible and understandable. Like,
immediately. But I would play that game on Switch.
Totally.
Sort of like an update to Four Swords.
Yeah, or like the, what's the cooking game?
Cooking Mama?
Overcooked. But with shrine solving with two people, so you just meet each other the whole time.
I would play an arcade version of almost anything, right? Like any action or adventure franchise feels like it could be, like even the Halo game, you know, keeps like the lore and the designs and stuff, but it's a light gun game. Like that's totally appropriate, you know, and a nice arcade extension to that franchise.
Yeah.
I just think of the arcade games that are more like Star Tours that have like pneumatics and stuff, which have existed since the 80s. So you get in, you have like an experience. Like that's the thing you can't have at home, right? So you get in a cockpit and it like actually turns you or moves you around or something like that. That's why Star Wars is such a good match for that. But, you know, any type of flying game like that would be really cool for any licensed stuff.
Maybe in the future, VR, like little VR sections will be more popular in arcades, and then that Shrine Solver could totally be doable.
That's true.
The problem with those is that you have to put arcade machines on your face.
Yeah.
And there would
have to be some kind of like sanitary.
I love the proliferation of like there's like Candy Crush in arcades and like Doodle Jump, and the screens are like these tall vertical screens.
Fruit Ninja.
Yeah. It's just there was a Infinity Blade too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That's a weird.
Is that where all the Kinects go to die?
Well, it's just they just skipped. It's just odd. Like they went from phone to arcade, and like it's not on consoles or anything. Don't worry about it. What would be the least appropriate game for arcades? The Witness.
Yeah, Luminous.
The Witness. Well, when Sam was saying he wants like a space flying
Zork
game, I was thinking No Man's Sky, which probably wouldn't make for a great arcade experience.
It's funny you mentioned Zork. I've always wanted to make an upright Zork arcade cabinet with like, you know, wood panel sides, black and white monitor, and then you have the keyboard for your thing. It's clack, 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 clack. And you like put in a quarter and you have like 5 minutes or something.
I really like the House of Dead games, but if I think about, because like I would shoot any zombie, I would do any light gun game. I love those. But if you did The Walking Dead, by Telltale, that would be the least appropriate. Oh, yeah. You're just like making narrative decisions. Yeah,
that's like Dragon's Lair, but really slow.
Yeah.
There were arcade games work. Like that. They're just a lot faster, just scene after scene.
People just want to leave. Really they're good. Like, I just want to get out of here. But you still, it's like you're just in
45
the middle.
Minutes.
What about Wind Waker, but it's Dragon's Lair?
Wind Waker, but it's Dragon's Lair. Yeah.
So it's just like cartoon, a cartoon Zelda
that you have to like just like memorize the sequences.
Yeah. Sure,
what about Assassin's Creed Black Flag? All the ship sequences, mm-hmm.
And you're in like a big ship.
Yeah.
Ooh. Are you saying that? Are you saying it's good or not good?
It's good. Yeah, it would be good.
Yeah, I can see that good.
Something co-op-y like a Destiny feels like it could work in an arcade context, like go on a mission with some friends and shoot up aliens.
Destiny, yeah. Just the raids. You're in there for 8 hours yelling at your friends.
Yeah.
What about Yoku's Island Express?
Ooh.
With like a little flipper cabinet?
But they should make it a physical pinball thing.
Yeah, an actual machine. That's the thing. So many things would make great, so many video games would make great pinball machines.
I know, right?
And Zelda's never gotten one. That'd be great. But Pokemon is the one. That is the one. Also, Pokemon Snap would be a great arcade game.
I can't believe they haven't made a Pokemon pinball game ever.
I know. It'd be so
Mario
good.
Tables.
Yes.
One of them is in
the Mushroom World, which is little. And then the big one, yeah, which is the regular Super Mario Brothers. I like both.
When I was growing up, we had the Mario pinball table at our family business, and it was just amazing.
It's so cool.
It's like not even good, but like in my mind, it was just the best thing.
It is great. It has a great look and lights and sounds and stuff.
What about Spelunky, a 2D platforming roguelike game. So every time you drop in a quarter, it generates a different map.
Good. Like a big screen.
They haven't made any roguelike arcade games, to my knowledge.
Good point.
I like that idea.
Feels like that would aid in replay value.
Exactly. Mm. I shouldn't have said that out loud. Mm. I'm going to edit this part out. And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Jackson. Is it from the area, Jackson? Is the person's name Jackson? We don't know
for now.
That's for you to decide. Mm. Let the questioning begin.
I think the producers are trying to communicate with us something right now.
Aha, got me to do a lightning round.
Wow, that was cool.
Okay.
Does your character wear a hat?
You can. It's possible.
Is this after 2000?
Released after 2000, yes.
First person?
No.
Was this released on the PS3 and Xbox 360 and, I don't know, Wii generation of consoles?
No. And to amend Tina's question, there are moments where the game goes into first-person view. Oh boy. But you also have a character that you see.
It's Metroid Other M.
But it's not part of that generation.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Is it from after that generation?
Yes.
It's a contemporary game.
Okay, so a new game. Is it an RPG?
No.
Is it available on Nintendo Switch?
No.
Mm.
Is it a console exclusive?
Yes.
Okay. Is it exclusive to Xbox One?
No.
Same question, PS4.
Are you sure you want to ask that question?
Well, how did we screw this up?
I don't know.
Yeah, you said Xbox.
Not exclusive to Switch and not exclusive to Xbox One.
You pull all kinds of...
He just doesn't want us to
burn
a question.
But it is a console exclusive.
All right.
Okay, so it's a PS4 game. Thank you, Damon.
And you can choose a character. Did we already do that?
Oh, we didn't ask that question.
Well, but you can wear a hat.
You can wear a hat. Oh, okay.
Do you play as a human?
Yes.
PS4 exclusive.
That's 10.
Made in Japan?
Yes.
Published by Sony?
Yes.
Bloodborne? No, that's not an actual guess. That's just me speculating amongst the room.
Is it part of a series?
Yes.
Not Bloodborne.
No, because is there just no announcement of another Bloodborne?
No, not officially.
Okay. You can wear a hat. Can you choose your character?
Not an RPG.
You create your character.
Okay.
Is this some Final Fantasy game? Japan.
It's published by Sony.
If you create your character and it's published by Sony.
But not an RPG.
Oh, yeah, no, that wouldn't be.
Not first person.
Is this a retail game?
Yes.
Okay.
That's 15.
As if it was some weird little downloadable game we're never going to get.
Yeah. I feel like we were on such a good track. Now we're not. Now we're on the bad track.
Yeah, we were getting lots of yes.
You're entering the final phase of your life cycle.
Good. Well, wait. What?
You
was this well received?
Yes.
Okay, so it's something really obvious.
Yeah, I know.
But it's not Uncharted and Last of Us and like all that stuff. That's what's
it
weird.
Is part of a series, right?
Made in Japan.
Yeah, made in Japan.
Is there multiplayer?
Could this?
Yes.
It's an exclusive.
Thought about it. That means it's co-op.
Yeah. I like that. See, I go to like games like Monster Hunter, but I know Sony didn't publish that. It's all Capcom, so.
Yeah, and I was thinking about like, you know, Metal Gear Solid or something like that.
That's all, yeah, exactly.
Platform.
Yeah.
We asked it was Sony published. We didn't ask Sony developed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about like what is even Japan Studio been up to
Neo?
This year. Neo was Tecmo. I don't know if Sony was involved in that one at all or not. And I also don't think it had multiplayer. Maybe it did.
So Bloodborne, Neo, we got to mention a lot of games because then we're going to ask, do we mention this game yet?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Then we're going to get it.
Are your enemies humans?
You don't. I didn't say they're we enemies.
But, oh.
What?
Okay.
What?
I would say you don't have enemies.
What? What?
Two questions left.
Who's the enemy? What do you do? What's the objective?
Is there like a music game or anything they did recently?
Not that I could. No, not on PS4. Can't think.
What was your question? Are your enemies human?
Yeah.
Let's say your opponent or your competitor is human.
Oh, so it really is multiplayer.
You wouldn't call them human, or you wouldn't call them enemies.
Is this like it must be like a high score game?
Yeah, he said it was well received.
Is that what you mean? Or like an arcade game?
I don't know.
Who knows anymore?
You have two questions and one of them has to be a guess. Yep. So
was this a game we mentioned already?
No.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Damon. Well, at least we got to ask the question.
That should be a big in. It's nothing you've mentioned so far.
You're so tickled with yourself.
Is there like a cute Parappa type Katamari thing that we missed here?
Probably. It's got to be, but with multiplayer.
I'm going to blame the speed round.
We were under high pressure.
Didn't have time to fully form your questions.
I feel like because we were under high pressure, we deserve a hint.
It was released last year.
Oh, God. I can't.
So
think
we
of,
should really remember.
I can't think of any video game that
so
came out last year all of a sudden.
Yeah, right?
I'm just going to drink this week.
While we try to fill the gap.
I have it.
We had it?
Yeah.
Okay. The answer is... Everybody's Golf.
Oh, yeah,
get that one.
How could you not get that one? I feel like you should get
it. I played and really liked that game.
Yeah. The game's good. Part of the Hot Shots Golf series.
Well, that was a fun one, though.
But we're not the Hot Shots.
Sorry we had to truncate the show a little bit this week, but it's E3 time. We have a short week here, so everyone's got to run to a big E3 meeting. But if you have your own questions for us, suggestions for Video Game 20 questions, email them to gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Andres, in the booth back there,
aww,
the man behind the scenes.
That's sweet.
Making sure you get to see
there he is.
Who's talking. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.